Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580. Welcome to our second hour here on Circles of Change. It's always a pleasure to welcome an in-studio guest, Michelle Conklin from the Tucson Botanical Gardens. How are you this morning, Michelle?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm just terrific. It's great. Now I can go to more of the outdoor life, even though we're sitting indoors. Michelle is the executive director, as I mentioned, the Tucson Botanical Gardens, which is, as we say, the best secret garden in America, based in the middle of, quite frankly, a very busy urban center here in Tucson. Moving her family to Arizona from Michigan in the late 90s to first join the Arizona Theater Company and the Arizona Aerospace Foundation, Michelle's earlier career experiences included law firm administration, being CFO for a civil engineering and architectural firm, and sales and marketing for a national television affiliate, so she's no rookie to the media. Almost 20 years ago, she repackaged her skills, though, and shifted to nonprofit work as executive director for a large visual and performing arts center in northern Michigan. It was actually, though, a natural fit, particularly for fundraising, in which she is currently holds an internationally recognized credential. Michelle has always been involved in her community, from chairing holiday parades to founding a community theater where she acted and directed plays, and it's still thriving today, I might add. She dabbles at the piano and credits her family, who believe that the arts were as important to a children's education as learning how to add and to subtract. Michelle and her husband, David Conklin, who is a professional wildlife portrait and maritime artist, known best for his painting of the ship, the Edmund Fitzgerald. They have one son, Max, who perhaps no surprise is also a musician. So I called it the best secret garden in America. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, it was kind of interesting. About 6 years ago, Reader's Digest was doing a best of the United States, and they called and did an on-site visit and visited a number of small gardens in America and named us as the best secret garden in America.
Don't you love it?
I do. And what's so interesting is we are small. We're only 5.5 acres. Mm-hmm. So it seems it was very appropriate.
And where are you in the city center for our local guests? Where would they find the gardens?
We're on Elvernon, right just south of Grant and north of Pima.
Right, exactly. So that's a pretty busy intersection.
It's very busy. And people are always amazed when they walk into the gardens. They had no idea that it existed. It's 5.5 acres, but yet it feels much, much larger. We cram an awful lot into that space. We've got 17 different gardens, all designed in a residential scale, and your blood pressure just drops as soon as you enter the garden.
That's the key, is you almost feel like you're going through this gate of Shangri-La that you're stepping into.
You do. And we are in the desert, but because this is a historical property, it began in 1929, the home of the Porter family. And back then, you know, plantings were very different in the Sonoran Desert. People brought all of their plants from back east because they wanted to feel like they were at home. So our garden, part of it is very historical, with plants that are not totally appropriate, mm-hmm. Pittosporum and oleander and things like that. But as you do walk through our gardens, you do get a very clear picture of gardening in the Sonoran Desert from 1920 all the way through today.
Interesting. And the preservation of those gardens then over the years, I mean, this is quite a legacy that's in place then. Has that required then special attention to the soil with the other ambient things that have affected our part of the country?
Well, it is. And we really pay homage to Mr. and Mrs. Porter. I mean, our plants, it's a living collection. So a collection of about 5,400 plants. Plants are accessioned, cataloged, just like a museum, just like you would in a painting. So if a plant dies or is removed, that too is removed from our collection. And it takes a lot of care. We have a wonderful staff. We have a director of horticulture as a botanist. We have a new young woman, Emily Rocky, who started, and her focus is florals. And of course we have 150 volunteers that don't all work the plants. They work all different areas, but we really couldn't do without our volunteers.
Well, in fact, you even said before you zipped over here this morning, you were initiating another docent class.
Yeah.
Where do you find your volunteers come from?
All over. And that is what the best part sometimes about working in this particular field where you do rely on volunteers, this is a transient community. So we get a lot of retirees who are far more active than I am. Mm-hmm. And the background, it's amazing. You can work with an executive for General Motors, school teachers, all walks of life. And they bring so much to the gardens and so much to me personally. I feel really honored to know many of them and to work with them.
And each one of them in their own way has already had some kind of, I'll call it credentialing or prowess or a green thumb with plants?
Not necessarily.
Because you would not want me volunteering,
well,
trust me.
That's, sometimes they'll come and they'll go through our... but it's they are drawn to the space in the gardens because of the way it makes them feel a lot of times.
You know, you're a destination spot here in Tucson, too. It's obviously when people come to Tucson from other parts of the country. And I think most of us know that live here locally, sometimes we get lulled in to lose our appreciation for the color and the diversity we have here in this desert. And that particularly people that come from the outside, they're shocked mm-hmm. when they can see, for example, the different flowering cacti all across, you know, the every single season that we have. Because we do have seasons here.
We do. It's subtle. It's, if you're from the Midwest or the East Coast, the seasons are far more obviously subtle. But there is such beauty in the desert every single month. Something different blooms.
So you mentioned the historic preservation nature of this and that, you know, you are really caretakers of the gifts that the Porters gave you. So do people actually donate plants then to the Botanical Garden?
They do. We don't always suggest that, but sometimes we've been very, very lucky with some of the plants have really added to our collection.
And so these would be exotics or something we don't have yet? Or
something we perhaps may not have. I mean, just yesterday someone donated a magnolia, which we normally we wouldn't accept something like that, but in a historical garden it would be appropriate to accept something like that.
Ooh, and those are not easy to
take
care of.
We do have two magnolias in the gardens, and so it's interesting. But the legacy really continues the historic buildings on site. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have five buildings. Three of those are historic, dating back to the 20s. If you come into our building and look at the old photographs from when the Porters lived there, some things have never changed. The living room still looks like the living room, even though now it's an art gallery. My office is one of the daughter's bedrooms, and I've got a photograph of what that bedroom looked like. It's interesting. And Mr. Porter built that house from the clay on the property, from the soil. So it's adobe. It's original. And we feel really honored to be the caretakers of that home.
Isn't that interesting? So this was back in the 20s when they established the gardens,
right.
Or they donated to it. Over what period of time did it take for it to actually open as a public park?
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Porter opened up a nursery called Desert Garden Nursery. So it was one of the first nurseries in Tucson. And Mr. Porter died in the late 60s. Mrs. Porter lived there. And there's a second generation. You know, of course, the property was the Porters, but there was a second generation. And that was a group of four. I call them the group of four. And Harrison Yoakum and Lillian Fisher and Leland Burkhart. So, and that group formed the Tucson Botanical Gardens. And when Mr. Porter died, Mrs. Porter stayed in the home, gave it to the city of Tucson, and lived there. They, in turn, turned it over to the Tucson Botanical Gardens, and she lived there until she passed away.
Isn't beautiful? Well, you know, we had said you wanted to call this segment The Past Inspiring the Future. So in many ways, this is the actual legacy of the Porter family you're speaking of.
It really is, but we don't let the past freeze us mm-hmm. as we move forward, and we are moving forward.
In what way? Give us some examples.
Well, let's, for example, I've been at the gardens for 9 years. When I started, admissions and attendance was probably about 12,000 a year. Today we stand at 75,000 to 100,000. We've had an 850% increase in children attending the gardens in 6 years. That's tremendous. So the community, when you look at the community is they are really guiding the direction that we're taking. So we are looking at expanding our space. Although we are landlocked, there is some property, unused garden, that we will be expanding to. The gardens just bought a house that borders the east side of the property.
Mm-hmm.
Bought it within 24 hours. We raised all the money cash.
Really?
Yes. It's an exciting story how that all happened. But we're, you know, we need to add a children's or youth environmental education classroom, a new visitor center, We need space for the people with disabilities that come to our garden, our horticultural therapy program.
Horticulture therapy, that sounds like a beautiful experience. What is that all about?
Well, it's using plant therapy, and we work with a number of senior centers, agencies, Southern Arizona for the Visually Impaired. We work with brain injury patients. And
so this is about an experience that's smell, visual, as well as touch?
That's right. They have found that people working with plants, stroke victims, for example, you try to get them to do physical therapy, it's different, but you put a pot of soil in front of them and see something grow from that, it's very therapeutic.
And I would imagine as well for children, each of us that have all been parents, to see that first sprout pushing up, whatever it was that you planted, the first pea pod, was a big deal as a child.
It's absolutely wonderful. The garden is not a quiet place when children are there, and that's what I love about it.
I was going to say, you don't want it to be quiet.
I love it that way, yeah.
So the garden's your funding model then. Does that come primarily then from visitors?
Actually, I feel very fortunate. We have a great funding model because we have diverse pockets that our funding comes from. Just about 50% from contributions and 50% from earned income. And the contributions are from memberships, grants, donations. We are not city funded or county funded. We get about less than 1% of our budget from the county. But, and then on the flip side of it, there's of course admissions, gift shop sales, our cafe revenue, special events, and facility rental. We've been voted the best place to get married almost every year.
So, geez, the best of Secret Garden, place to get married. That makes sense. Your own experience now being executive director, Michelle, you're coming up, you said you're 9 years, so this whole 10-year thought, and I had mentioned earlier in your introduction that you've been involved with a law firm, with a civil engineering firm, with other nonprofits. How is this different?
Well, in a way, it's not very different. I tell my staff and people that I know that nonprofit is really just an IRS designation. It's not a management style. Mm. We have a budget of $1.5 million. I've got 35 employees, 15 that are full-time, the rest seasonal. And we are a business, but yet we do serve the common good. And we are, all of us who work there are very mission-driven. But first and foremost, we feel unlike perhaps a business, the Tucson Botanical Gardens and all nonprofits, you, especially attractions and museums, you think about the perpetuity of it.
Mm-hmm, right.
So what I do today will impact tomorrow. And as an executive director, it's not about you. It's about what you are going to do for your organization and how you're going to move that forward.
Well, particularly because you have this historic element associated with it. My husband and I had the pleasure of living in the historic district of a small village back in Connecticut. And so anytime we wanted to do anything to our property, we had to have it reviewed by the Historical Commission, which was jokingly referred to as the Hysterical Commission off to the side. But if you put it in perspective, we were there for 12 years, and the bigger thing of thing, that was a pretty short time, given the perpetuity element. So the gifting of the Porters, the responsibility that you and your staff, your donors, your membership has, it isn't about today. It's about those beyond us that we'll never know to see.
Well, that's true. And while our buildings are not, they don't have historical designation, we think very much about the spirit of what those buildings entail as we move into the future and think about future buildings.
Mm-hmm.
All of our future buildings will be in the style and the spirit of the current Porter Hall. So sense of place in Tucson is so important because that's what makes our community. Gertrude Stein said when she returned to her hometown in California, she said there was no there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that is the thing that we want to keep dear to our hearts. When you go to the Arizona Inn, you feel Tucson. When you come to the Tucson Botanical Gardens, you feel Tucson.
Which is one of the attractions. Now, the huge following that you have now compared to where it was several years ago, I assume a lot of international people that visit vis-a-vis, you know, the tourist trade that comes to Tucson?
Tourism has really taken a hit the past few years and impacted all of us. But we do see the tourists from Germany and Italy and Japan. It's absolutely a joy to, when I get a chance to fill in the gift shop, which I do, to run across a tourist who had never, who was brand new to America and coming to the Tucson Botanical Gardens. And what's so interesting is if I happen to get the chance to walk through the gardens, the plants are very, they're South African plants, Australian plants.
Well, now that's interesting. So the your makeup of your botanicals isn't just then indigenous to the Sonoran Desert.
That's true. We
what
have
portion, you feel?
Our cactus succulent garden is divided up actually geographically. So you will see plants of the Sonoran Desert, but also plants of South Africa, Australia, which has a very similar climate.
Interesting. Okay. And so and those would have been gifted to you, or those the ones that you folks sought out to expand the repertoire there?
Well, you know, the gardens it's just incredible. And so some have been gifted, some have been purchased, some were there.
Yeah, interesting. Well, again, Shelley spoke about earlier, you made a mindful shift to go from the for-profit world into the philanthropy sector. Do you remember the day that you made that decision? What drove you to make the switch?
Well, I do. I was working for civil engineers in Port Huron in Michigan and doing my work in progress report and my weekly financial report for the partners. And I just went home, told my husband, you know, I want to be the director of a visual and performing arts center. And he said, you're crazy. How many are there? And he just kept that in my head. And I believe if you keep those things in your heart and put them out in the world, it comes around. And an opportunity just happened. I was asked by a maritime museum director to help with an auction.
Leads
and on the board yeah. was a director of a visual performing arts center who was looking for an assistant director. And it all just came to be.
And at the same time, you were involved in acting,
right.
and theater, and
passion.
Music yourself was your passion.
Right.
So the fact that you could do your 5-to-9 life in your 9-to-5 life, I'll call it. But I also have got to believe that where you are right now, being, you know, leading this jewel for Tucson and for other botanical gardens, since you've been so recognized, that relying on those skills that you got over those years of working in administrative capacities and finance and interfacing with, you know, legislative environmentalists, et cetera, that it probably prepared you well for what you're doing now.
It's just amazing. It felt meant to be. Every boss I ever had at the CBS affiliate, my sales manager, taught me so much about people,
mm-hmm.
sales skills, the engineers, organization, human resources. It was all very important.
Do you think then for younger people who are mapping out a career and perhaps would like to grow up to be just like you, that has the career path though in the nonprofit world shifted at all such that you really can have a viable career within nonprofit that you stay through that path? Or do you advise those who might invite you for input to go dabble around in some of the for-profit world before you step in?
Well, you know, I grew up at a time when you worked your way up the ladder.
Right, that's right.
And things are a little different now, and there are so many opportunities. I mean, fundraising is a career. Nonprofit management leadership is now a recognized master's program at Indiana University School of Philanthropy. So you can, but there is value. There is such value in when a door opens, don't be afraid to walk into it because you will learn from it.
Which is essentially what you did. Now, the fundraising certification that you have, mm-hmm. that's a credential that's so important. And obviously, you know, we look at so many individuals that the leaders are nonprofit that suddenly, what is it, probably 15 years ago, their jobs shifted to really needing to be significantly in this play of the finances. That came to you, I would gather, quite naturally in some regard because you had done that kind of work in the for-pay world.
Yes, it did come naturally. Although I remember I was being interviewed at a large museum in Phoenix, and he said, "So you're a development officer?" I said, "Well, I'm not really a development officer. I just ask people for money." And realistically, it is a skill, and becoming a CFRE and being involved in the Association for Professional Fundraisers elevates, validates, and it teaches you the important job of stewardship.
I was
going to
say,
yeah. Money.
Exactly, particularly in this day and age, that the types of discipline and requirements and controls on nonprofit are as important as what you see in the for-pay, you know, in the commercial world. Tell us, Michelle, before we run out of time, some of the upcoming special programs and events that are going to play out at the Tucson Botanical Gardens.
Well, two very special events are coming up. We will be opening Butterfly Magic, our indoor tropical butterfly exhibit, on October 10th. We are expecting the arrival of 600 pupae in 2 weeks, and which is a very exciting day at the gardens.
And then you have to care for them and rotate them and keep the lights on them and all that.
Dr. Elizabeth Willett, our entomologist, our curator, patches them, lovingly cares for them. And then as the precursor to that, we have Butterfly Affair, a royal evening, which is our annual gala. And that is Sunday, October 9th. And it is truly the best party in Tucson because it's spread out amongst the 5.5 acres with music, a poker room.
Exactly.
All kinds of
And for those who are interested, I assume you can go to tucsonbotanical.org to find out about tickets?
That's correct.
Okay, so again, that's Sunday, October 9th. And what time of day will that be?
5 to 8:30.
So beautiful, right at
and
sunset.
And our gardens is closed that day.
It's wonderful.
Personally,
I love it, exactly. Again, so that's tucsonbotanical.org for their annual large fundraiser, the Butterfly Affair. Michelle, I should ask you, are you a gardener?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
I am not a gardener.
So there might be hope for me to come and volunteer then.
I am not a gardener, but my job as the executive director is to hire the best people I can. But I am an appreciator, and with art as my background, Alden Dow, the famous architect, said, where there is an art, there is science, and where there is science, there is art, and you can't have one without the other.
Isn't that well said? And it also goes to show that we, in some regards, you can be a more effective leader because you can stand back.
That's
and
right.
Really empower those that are part of that. Well, Michelle Conklin, again, Executive Director of the Tucson Botanical Gardens, wish you all the best, the past inspiring the future. I'm sure the porters this morning are tuning in, or maybe they're going to webcast later on from other realms to appreciate the leadership you're providing and the role you play in our community here in Tucson.
Thank you.
You bet. It's a real pleasure.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays 10 to noon right here on 104.1 The Truth for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.